Hello. Is it on?
Hello.
I don't think I'll stand like this all the time. Well, good morning, church. Hey, anybody else have a week this week? I did. I know there's a lot of you out there that did. Wednesday, I actually got a day off. We had supposed to be our fall planning meeting for 2021, and normally they send us to like Indianapolis or Dayton or wherever for this meeting, and I got to do it out of the comforts of my home. So as I sat there in shorts and a t-shirt on this webinar, I was like, man, this is kind of nice. I looked out back, the crops were off, so I could see all the way to the woods, and out front, the crops are off, I could see all the way to the woods, and, you know, God's beauty is all around us. But this is one of those times a year when we notice it. Why? Because the leaves change. For me, I am not a big fan of it because it gets cold, and then I'm mowing leaves, and I hate mowing leaves. But it's part of it, okay? But there's a lot going on in all of our lives, and there's a lot of situations. I know, you know, we have one in our family. Actually, we have a couple. But I'm going to talk real quick about falling back. And next week, we actually move the clocks back. So if you show up at 10 o'clock or what you think is 10 o'clock, you'll be on time next week. You'll get some donuts, okay? That's kind of cool. But yes, I talked to my mom this morning, and she tells me, did you hear about Jackson? And I was like, no. So, well, he was at a friend's house, and somehow he fell on a gate, and he poked a hole in his lip. And no big deal, I guess. Kara got there to this house to pick him up yesterday, and I guess she kind of panicked because he has a hole in his lip. And so she took him to the urgent care. He had a stitch put on the inside, a stitch put on the outside, and as he got down off the table, he fell back. He passed out. He is, what, 10, 11? 9, 10? I don't know. 11? So that was kind of cool. But then, you know, we hear Brenna had her deal this week, right? Man, you don't think God's hand's in all this stuff? Julia's not supposed to be home. But she is. You know, there's other needs in the church. Just pray for every person in this church, because God is alive, but Satan is at work. Okay? God is alive, but Satan is at work. And if you need any proof of that, a couple weeks, we do what? A week from this coming Tuesday, we vote. You know what? I'm going to pray before I get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I just want you to take me out of the equation, take my simple words and move me out and replace what you want to be said, Lord, and shut my mind down and just let me bring your word forward, Lord. And Lord, we pray for every member of this body, and we pray that we know there's situations in every life here. And I just lift them all before you, Lord, and we turn them all over to you, Lord. We know that you're here. We know your hand's in it. And Lord, as we go into election time and we go into a time of unknown with our country, just let us be at peace knowing that you are in control. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I guess I'll title this Voting for Vices, but I'm going to change that. That was the original title. I don't like that. I'm going to say Voting for Principles. Guys, I will never get up in front of you and push my agenda on you. Okay? That's not what this is about. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I'm not here to tell you how to vote, when to vote. I'm telling you, it is our job as Christians to vote. While God is not the president we're going to elect, or the senator we're going to elect, or the representative we're going to elect, or the judge, or the whatever, he has put this program of voting in place. He oversees it all. So it is our job as Christians to vote. And how do we vote? You know, do we vote Democrat, Republican? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. I think as Christians, we have to vote principles. Instead of voting Democrat, Republican, let's be honest. If you're voting for pure Democrats or pure Republicans, there's going to be a lot of things you sell yourself short as a Christian when you go to the voting booth. If you vote for principles, there's going to be a lot of things you've got to settle on. And I'm telling you, our politicians are a bunch of weirdos. Okay? If there's any politicians in the room, I'm sorry. But I don't trust too many politicians. Okay? Because I think sometimes they tell you what you want to hear, then get in there and it's just... And I know their hands are tied and all that, but... Guys, we have to really know what's at stake when we vote. Do your research, do your proper whatever, and vote for what you stand for as a voter. Don't vote for who you think what party should win. Okay. This was going to go 14 different ways, and it probably still will. But in 1995, there's a guy by the name of Clay Shiver. Anybody ever heard of him? Shiver? Paul? No? Dwayne? No? Okay. When I first heard the name, when I first read the name this week, I was thinking of Cody Shiver. He's a bull rider, a professional bull rider. This guy was, in 1995, he was a center for the Florida State Seminoles. He was 6'2", 290 pounds. And he was a preseason pick to be All-American. Okay, that's a pretty big honor. And back then when they did it, they didn't have just one All-American team. They might have, you know, USA Today and whatever, college football and whatever else. Well, there was a certain magazine that put out an All-American team. And he was named to the first team All-American team by this magazine, and it was Playboy. And he knew that this was coming. And I love this about this story. And I don't know even know where I found this. But what did he do when he found out that he was probably going to be named? He went to his pastor and he prayed. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And when Playboy came and gave him, told him the good news that you're going to be considered an All-American, what did he do? He said, no, thank you. He was a Christian man at 20 years old that took a stand for Christian morals and Christian ethics. Because he did not want to let his family or his church family down by being named to a magazine that promoted what it promoted. Okay? Also, he did not want to give the devil that inch that somebody would buy that magazine because he was in it. That's a pretty cool statement from a young guy. He knew that he had to consider the magnitude that he had as a Christian and a star athlete and the responsibility that came with it. Guys, this is what I'm telling you. As we head into voting, we have to consider the magnitude we have as Christians. And we have to consider the influence that Jesus' followers have on the world. First passage we're going to use today is Matthew 5. Good news is I got all day to preach. The Browns and Bengals play, but who cares? Verse 5, chapter 13, salt and light. Guys, as I'm reading this, I want you to think about this as followers of Christ. This is what we are. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Do you ever think of salt? Everybody uses salt, right? My wife uses salt. I don't. Well, I do because I eat what she cooks. But I don't. You can leave the salt shaker on the stove after that. But as you think about salt, what does it do? It enhances flavor, right? It enhances whatever it is going to go with. Guys, Jesus is calling us the salt of the earth. By ourselves, what are we? Are you just going to eat a spoonful of salt? I hope not. My wife might. Morgan money. Okay? But by salt itself, us as Christians, by ourselves, guess what? One-on-one, we are not going to change the world. But when you add us to our Jesus, and you add us to our other Christian fellow believers, we can make a difference. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, when we light a light, we don't cover it. Right? We don't cover it. And that brings me another question. I'm just going on a tangent here. Anybody ever really understand lampshades? I don't. Because it covers the light. Yeah, you get light going up here above the lampshade. But does that help you see? It's the light that comes out down below that helps. But my thing is, how much better would it be if we just took our lampshades off and we just had that bulb? Now, Karen just said it wouldn't match her decor. Okay? So the lampshade is a frill, right? But we don't cover the light, nor when we go out in the world should we cover our Christianity. Don't damper it. Don't hold it back. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty because I go out there and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to this place. I just don't know if I can be a Christian in there. Or I don't know if I can show my full Christianity in there. Guys, I'm telling you, if we don't show our full Christianity, especially in this time of voting, this time of harvest, this time of fall, when are we going to show it? We have a chance to show up as Christians at the polls and let our Christian voice be heard. Let's go to Philippians. To your right, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, one verse. You could use a bunch of verses here. I'm going to use one. Verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Guys, we understand why Jesus was here. He wants one humanity. He wants everybody to be a Christian and follow the cross. Not just the people that come to church. Not just people that do good. As we do good, our job is to spread His humanity. Or as we are Christians, our job is to spread His humanity and to set aside our flesh with His commands and regulations. Guys, He laid it all out what we're supposed to do. It's all in here. If you have any situation in your life, it's in here. Purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity. Notice it didn't say His purpose was to create in Matt, or His purpose was to create in Paul or Verlton. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity. So that through only Christ can we get to that new humanity. There's no other way. Anybody think it's through Donald Trump we're going to get there? Through Joe Biden we're going to get there? No. It's through Christ is the only way we're going to get there. It's the only way we're going to get there. And guess what, guys? That scares a lot of people. That scares a lot of people. It scares a lot of politicians. I'm not sure they want the Christians to all come out and vote. All right. Let's go back to Mark. Mark 9. This is going to be the main passage, I think, today I'm going to use. God worked on me with this message for 7-8 days. Actually longer than that. Last weekend, Chris and I and Shelby and Morgan went camping just because we haven't been camping in a while and we never usually go fall camping. Once August is over, we kind of pack the camper up. But we went camping last weekend and we saw just how satisfying it could be to be, this campground was packed. I mean, I called on Monday before, or I got online, and there was one camping spot open. 290 camping spots, and there was one open. And when I got there on Friday, I figured there'd still be a bunch of open spots. There was about one open. I was trying to swing that camper in and get it set up and then get to a football game in Sullivan Black River on time. But as we sat around the fire this weekend or last weekend, I didn't sweat and I just felt pretty good about camping and relaxing and getting back to just thinking about what I need to think about instead of everything else. So it was pretty cool. In this passage here, we're talking about the disciples said, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." So the disciples had this kind of, and I think we as Christians have this kind of, man, God, you're letting John do that, and I don't know if he should. He don't go to church every Sunday. The disciples were there. They were like, Jesus, should this guy be driving out demons, or should we be doing it? Okay? We can't get so caught up in our Christianity that we think we're the only people that can do any good for God. We're part of it. But remember, it wasn't through us Jesus created one humanity. It was through himself he created one humanity. So as long as we're preaching in the name of Jesus, or we're healing in the name of Jesus, or we're doing good in the name of Jesus, who am I to say who can do it and who can't? Takes me back to government. I think God will put in place who he wants to be there because he wants to use them. Probably, do you think God has a voting interest in who wins the presidency this time? Here's the thing. God already knows who won. Who's going to win? He knows. Why are we worrying about all this political mumbo jumbo? Anybody else tired of ads? Listen, we don't get many things in the mail unless it's Bluffton alumni, Ohio State alumni, Ashland University alumni wanting money. Or now we get, every day, there used to be days go by, we don't get mail. Kind of like it that way. Now there's not a day go by, my mailbox isn't stuff full. And what do I do with that stuff? I throw it away. God is going to put into power, into that spot, the presidency, who he wants. Who am I to question? Now, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to vote. I remember one time sitting in front of my grandparents' TV, where my sister lives now. I was, 14 maybe. And Ronald Reagan was the president that was coming out. I think. Pretty sure. And George Bush was going in. And I remember standing up in front of my aunts and uncles and my grandparents and my grandma and my mom and my dad and saying, we are going to be a ruined country because this guy's going into office. Now, I didn't know anything about politics. I just knew I liked Ronald Reagan. But at the end of the day, I didn't have any control. Guys, we got to let go. Because God's in control, not us. At the end of the day, it does not matter who's in president, who's in the House of Representatives. Those guys are going to argue whether a quarter is a quarter based on party lines. Okay? There's going to be one set's going to tell you it's worth 25 cents. And the other set is going to tell you it's a quarter. It's not 25 cents. It's the same thing. But they're going to agree to disagree over anything. There's a Supreme Court justice trying to be appointed right now, right? And by all intents and purposes, she's a pretty good gal. Probably one of the best people. I don't know why in the world she'd want to go do that. But they can't even agree. They can't even have a bipartisan vote to get her confirmed. And the funny thing of it is, one party can't do anything to stop it. So they just don't show up. Guys, I'm telling you, that's not the answer. If we can't fix it, our job is not to not show up. Our job as Christians is to show up and have our voices heard. I know I'm probably beating a dead horse, and I apologize, but I get a little excited because we need to have our voices heard. know, there's many other sectors, you know, that are going to have their voices heard. And I think all of them should have their voices heard. Christianity is one of those sectors that needs to have their voices heard. Okay. But, much like here, if they're preaching in the name of Jesus, don't rebuke them. Because Jesus tells us, if they're doing miracles in my name, they can't say something bad about me 2 seconds later. Or if they're giving you a glass of water in my name, they're not going to lose their reward. That's a pretty cool thing about Christianity. And the last passage I'm going to use today, so I'll go on for a little bit here. Calls him to stumble. I'm going to start in chapter 18 of Matthew. And we've all heard this before. We've heard Jesus preach it before. I just wanted to bring it out again today because I think it applies to our lives today. At that time, I'm going to use 18:1 through 10. At that time, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to them and placed a child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Guys, why do you think he used a child? I think he used a child because he's used a child before, right? He did. He used David. Before. I think he used a child because they have purity. You know, when my girls were little, we talked about this on the way over. When my girls were little, when Shelby was the only one at the time, I think. Maybe Lindsay was an infant. I couldn't spank her yet. I don't know. But we were at my grandparents' house in Mount Gilead, and Shelby was just being probably just a normal kid. I don't know, she was 2-3 years old, maybe 4 or 5, I don't know how old she was. But she was just being bad. And I got this elbow, it was from Chris. "Go take care of Shelby." So I did. I took Shelby into the bathroom. I spanked her, told her what she was not going to do anymore. She cried. We got it put back together. That was the neat thing about Shelby. I could discipline her. And once that discipline was over, she'd get herself together. She'd come back out and function in society. I'm going to tell you the three differences. Lindsay would burn holes in my face the rest of the night glaring at me. Okay? And Morgan would talk me to death while I was in the bathroom. She'd give me reasons why she was right. Okay? Some things never change. But when I came out of that bathroom, I felt pretty good. I'd done my job as a father so that my child was not creating havoc in my grandparents' house. I didn't get very far out of the bathroom door, and my grandmother, and I don't know any of you that knew her, my brother and I did some really stupid things growing up on their farm, like shooting each other BB guns. And I mean, stupid things. I don't remember my grandmother ever, ever yelling at me. I did not get 2 steps out of that bathroom door. My grandmother was right there. You do not ever spank that child in my house again. And it wasn't because she didn't discipline her kids. It wasn't because her kids didn't discipline their kids. Because let me tell you, my mom and dad used to tan my hide. Deservedly. But my grandmother said, no, you're not going to ever. So Shelby is the way she is because my grandmother told me I couldn't spank her anymore, okay? But it's that purity that my grandmother had of my child that I think Jesus looks at children and he says, yeah, you all need to be like these children. Because if I tell them that they're going to go and do something great, guess what? They're going to go and do something great. If I tell them the sky is blue, they're going to say, okay, the sky's blue. But if he tells me as an adult, I'm going to go do something great, what am I going to do? I'm going to come up with 100 excuses why I'm not going to do something great. If he tells me it's blue, I'm going to say, well, it's a little gray. We have to be like a child. See the world through the eyes of a child. Why else do I think he uses a child? Because children are what? If I took Brenna out right now and said, okay, Brenna, you're on your own, go. See ya. No, children are dependent. That's why you get a tax break. Because children are dependent on you to provide for them. Children are dependent on Jesus and on the people Jesus has put in their lives to raise them correctly. You know, if I knew then what I knew now, I'd still want to be about 14. Perfect. I don't drive. I get to play ball all the time. I don't have an electric bill. I don't have a car payment. I don't have a house payment. All I got to do is do me. Kids, that's my challenge to you guys. I want you to do you. Not what society thinks you are. I want you to do you. In the eyes of Christ. Because you're perfect. In the eyes of Christ. And if we would live our lives as Christians like children, guess what? Even though we don't live our lives as children all the time, and we don't have that eagerness to please God all the time, you know what he still sees when he looks at me? His son. Because he is perfect. He is perfect. Guess what? When he looks at the people in power, the people in office, what does he see? Some of them he sees perfection. He sees his son. So even though they're doing dumb things, even though they sometimes run this country in a bad way, when Jesus looks at those Christian politicians, might be a play on words, but when he looks at those Christian politicians, he sees his son covering their sins as well. Guys, our responsibility to our God is to get out and let our voice be heard. Whichever way you vote, I don't care what way you vote. Am I going to ask somebody to stop going to church here if they vote one way and I vote the other? No! I think the government can learn a lot from church. Because there are people in this congregation that don't have the same beliefs as me as far as politics go. You know what? What are we here for? We're here to glorify God. We're here to further God's kingdom. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. When we take a church vote, usually pretty much a unanimous church vote because we're here for the glory of God to glorify his kingdom. Guys, as we go out in our lives all the time, I want to finish my passage, Joe, but as we go through our lives, we need to do it for the glory of God. Because even when I'm out there doing stupid stuff, God looks at me and sees His Son and sees perfection. In verse 6, if anyone causes these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed and crippled than have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Now, let me be clear. I'm not telling you to go cut your hand off. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, if you have things in your life that are making you stumble, get rid of them. You know, if this thing right here is causing you to stumble, get rid of it. If the TV is causing you to stumble, get rid of it. If your job causes you to stumble, find another one. Anybody know what a millstone is? I didn't know this. I've seen this like a millstone used many times. Anybody know what a millstone is? Anybody a mill? Old-time millstone person? It's a stone. About this big around. It's got a hole in the middle. And I believe they used it to like grind corn and stuff. In the mill, they'd put it on a wheel and it would go around. It would just grind this corn all up. It weighs 300 or 400 pounds. You know what they used to do back then? Put your head through this millstone and throw you in the lake. So when he says, you'd be better to have a millstone around your neck than to lead these young children astray, he's pretty serious about these kids. He's pretty serious that we need to be, as Christians, we need to look at things through the eyes of children, and we need to have the excitement and the passion and the drive that children have. And the belief in Him that children have. I mean, our kids here today, you know, they grew up with it. I mean, I was a kid once. I grew up with it. I just knew Jesus was Jesus. You never had to tell me why. I heard the Bible stories. I knew Jesus was Jesus. He did what He did. I didn't have to have facts behind that. But as I got older, people started to question, why do you believe so strongly in Jesus? And it wasn't until a while, 10, 15 years ago, that I really knew the answer to that. You know what I had to do? I had to go back to when I was a kid to find the answer to something somebody was asking me 25 years later. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So if you have times in your life when you and you're not understanding, go back and look through it through the eyes of a child. You know, because this world, I don't understand a lot of things. Quite frankly, sometimes I don't even try. Because I have this. And I'm starting to understand this better. I'm not a finished product. In fact, I'm a pretty flawed product. I screw up every single day. Then there's like come home and I see my wife and my kids and think, you know what? Man, when God sees me, he sees his son. God sees me, he sees perfection. That's pretty cool. Because no matter how bad I mess up, he still sees perfection. So as we head into fall and Thanksgiving and election and whatever, just, guys, number one, I'm telling you, our responsibility is to vote. Do I care how you vote? No. Our responsibility is to vote. Our responsibility is to vote on issues, not people. Our responsibility is to vote for most qualified, not party lines. And some will argue that, you know, I go to my mom's house and it takes me about 30 seconds to get her riled up. But I have to quit doing that because I need to look at everything through the eyes of the child. As we go through our week, just go out there with the exuberance that children bring. You know, I used it before when Houston ran that check up here and threw it from 10 feet away and whatever. But he did that with youthful exuberance. And that's how we need to live our lives as Christians. Because God can fix whatever. But if we're not putting forth the effort, it's kind of hard to fix what doesn't happen. You're going to fall short. You're going to fail. But at the end of the day, remember God, when he looks down at you, he sees nothing but perfection. Guys, if we know God looks down and sees nothing but perfection, it should be so much easier for us to do our job as Christians. But we still stumble because we're human. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in everyone's lives. There's a lot to pray for. Guys, and without going into details, there's a lot of people in this church that need your prayer. Do that with youthful exuberance, please. Be dedicated to it. And do it wholeheartedly. Because there are people in this congregation today that need your prayers. God knows. God knows who they are. God knows what's going on. Our job as Christians is to pray for other Christians. And to be thankful for everything God has given to us. And I know some of you sitting here saying, man, I'm not thankful for this. No, you're not. But be thankful you got a God that'll pull you through it. So I'm not sure where this message went. It started out as a voting message. But at the end of the day, it's about our heart. At the end of the day, it's about what Jesus sees when he looks at us, what God sees when he looks at us. It's about getting out there and doing his work with him. Not for him. We don't work for God. We're doing it with him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you that even though we are a flawed bunch who believes in your Son, we know that when you look at us, you see perfection. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We know that your Son came to cover all of our shortcomings, Lord. And that's pretty powerful. Lord, as we go through this week, just give us that youthful exuberance and that excitement to go out and to spread your word in everything that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise band's going to be here. Jesse and I will be here. If you need prayer, by all means, we'd love to pray with you. If you have praises, by all means, we'd love to hear those. If you got a situation, you know, you don't want everybody know about, but you know you want prayer, that's okay. We can do that. If you want to give details so we know what to pray for exactly, we can do that. But we're going to do it with exuberance, and we're going to do it faithfully. Thank you.
My chains are gone.